Nayat Bhutan Tat Charanab Jarenabin Hatam Haso Bhakti Radoksa Jemala Mohurtikat Yasya Samagamat Chame Dustar Gamulo Pahato Vivekaha Na not he certainly adbhutam wonderful twacharana abjarenubi by the dust of your lotus feet hata umhasaha who am completely freed from the reactions of sinful life. Bhakti, love and devotion, adoksaje, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the capture of experimental knowledge. Amala, completely freed from all material contamination. Mohurtikat, momentary, yasya, of whom, samagamat, by the visit and association, cha, also, me, my, dustarka, of false arguments, mulaha, the root, apahata, completely vanquished, avivekaha, not discrimination. Translation: it is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to adoksaja, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you, just for a moment, I am now freed from all argument, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am free from all these problems. Purport: association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. This is certainly true of King Rahugan's association with Jat Bharat. King Rahugan was immediately freed from the misgivings of material association. The arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. Om again. Maharaj Rahugan was proud. He was a king, he was a ruler, he was served by many servants, and once, while being carried in a palanquin along the road, one of the palanquin carriers had difficulties for some reason and needed replacement. So they were just about to engage anyone, the first person they really, the first suitable person they saw. So when they saw Jat Bharat, he was very muscular, so it appeared that he was the right person to carry that palanquin. And subsequently, they simply forced him to serve the king. In the process, etiquette was ignored and overlooked. The king, instead of seeing himself like the instrument of the Lord, and then on behalf of the Lord being the head of the state, considered himself the master, and considered that anyone and everyone was could be engaged in his service, without acknowledging that within his kingdom there were also many superiors, because that is the wonderful feature of Vedic culture, that although the king is the head of the state, he is not the senior most person in the kingdom. That rather, brahmanas are in a superior position, or saints, great self-realized souls, are in a superior position. And spiritual personalities are to be respected by the king. A brahmana who is dedicated to teaching transcendental knowledge, such a brahmana is even offered the throne by the king, and the king will sit lower than such a personality and hear from him. So we can see that the power of his position had become too much for Maharaj Rahugan. He had become overwhelmed by pride. In the past, I was involved in the construction of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi Mandir in Mayapur. And for that, we had to go to Rajasthan, to the marble mines, and bring marble for the and stone for the Samadhi, a lot, in total, some 250 trucks. So there was so we spent quite some time there, and the thing that was interesting is that Makrana basically has been a place where they've been mining marble for centuries, and in the past the marble was taken for temples and maybe for palaces of kings, but now the times has changed. Everyone has marble, right? In his bathroom. Everyone has marble everywhere. And everyone, in Makrana, traditionally, there was a king, and he had a palace, and we actually stayed in the king's palace. The only thing was that the king's palace was no longer the biggest building in Makrana. There were many other buildings that were much bigger. People had bigger palaces than the king, because that is the time. Everyone has a palace. Everyone lives like a king. That is the modern standard of life. In the morning, we wake up, we have breakfast, and what shall we have? Shall we just have some local fruits or something imported, maybe? Or, I mean, what would we like? I mean, anything is available to us these days. Our chariot with so much horsepower, previously chariots pulled by horses, now our chariot stands in front of the door. Everyone has one. So the common standard has become a royal standard of life, and that's the glory of modern times. And then you look at Makrana, and it's like, previously there were some mines. Now it's destroyed. It's devastated. The marble is running out. They're blasting every day, everywhere. You always have to wait. You can't pass because they're blasting. Previously they were digging. They were digging some marble out of the mines. Now blasting. Now whole mountains blow them up and slice and dice and sell for good money. So in this way, we see that Maharaj Rahugana is in a way a prototype for us. It's not only that we are looking here at a king who became proud because of his acquisitions, but rather we're looking at ourselves and considering how proud we are because of our acquisitions. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchate. So the pure devotees Deya Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. They are interested in pleasing the senses of Krishna. And therefore they are Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. They are free from all identification with material designation. They don't care about these material things. Just like Kunti Devi was explaining, Janma Iswarya Sutu Sibir Eidamana Madapumam Navariti Abudatumvai Tum Akinchana Gocharam. She is saying one must be materially exhausted. No more pride in the position of one's birth or one's wealth or one's learning or one's beauty, all these things. So that is challenging. It is very challenging to overcome these tendencies, to take pride in these things. On Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, I was allowed to speak for a few minutes, and that was special mercy because I'm a junior person, but anyhow. But that was the point on my mind, that Srila Prabhupada was the most challenging personality that the world has ever seen, right? No one ever challenged the world more than he did. He challenged in all kinds of ways, right? First of all, he challenged just by his presence, just by being who he was, by being such an unalloyed pure devotee, so totally selfless, by being ready to do anything and everything for spreading Krishna consciousness to a point that is just mind-blowing. Then by his teachings, completely uncompromised, four regulative principles, 16 rounds minimum. So challenging for us every day again, challenging to every moment of our life we are challenged, and in that challenge we know very well that we're falling short. In that challenge, we know very well that maybe externally we are his follower, but internally, how much are we truly? To an extent, we want a comfortable position, and to the and we want some recognition. We want some. We want all these things, some Janma, some Aishwarya, some Sutta, some Sribir, some recognition for who we are, for what we have, for what we know. And, you know, and we consider ourselves very handsome, aristocratic, and beautiful, like that. So we are challenged. But when we become dull-headed, then we somehow or other, that challenge just, it doesn't touch us. We just somehow or other become complacent, and we don't care. And there are extreme examples. Like in this temple in the past, there was one devotee, he had a bead bag, but no beads inside, we found out. So, that's kind of missing a point, is it? But even we may have beads, and even we may chant, and even we may count. Are we chanting or are we counting our rounds? To what extent? Are we really taking things to heart? It is our dull-headedness. There's a discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And in that discussion, the following verse comes up. Tarka Shastra jada ami yaicha loha pinda. It's that by studying the science of logic, I have become dull. I have become dull. And my heart is hard as an iron bar. So it's very interesting that by the study of logic he had become dull. Because generally speaking, you think that by logic you become sharp. You know, people are having Sudoku puzzles to sort of sharpen the brain and all these things, and for hours and hours are adding up useless numbers just with the idea that this will sharpen the brain. But all it does is it makes us dull, because it reinforces our faith in our own material ability, and it diminishes our dependence on Krishna. Because real intelligence needs dependence on Krishna. And it begins with acknowledging that we don't have much intelligence. It begins there. That's real intelligence. Real intelligence begins with acknowledging the limitations of our intelligence and then relying on Krishna for knowledge and taking shelter of superior persons. And then, with our own intelligence, to the best of our ability, apply it in different situations. And there, we are challenged, greatly challenged, because part of us doesn't want to. There's this inner resistance. Very soon, we encounter our own inner resistance, all of us. Saying like, well, this I don't want to do. No. And sooner or later, everyone encounters these limitations. So our dull-headedness is due to the mode of ignorance, due to unwillingness, due to our stubbornness. When one is stubbornly not wanting to follow, then that stubbornness creates dullness due to pride. Indra had made the big mistake of sending the devastating rains to Vrindavan, and Krishna had counteracted his efforts by holding up Govardhan for 7 days, and then Indra had already come, and Indra with Surabhi, Indra had already begged for forgiveness and all these things. Surabhi had already crowned Krishna as the real Indra, and Indra had assisted in that, so that was already quite serious. But then, some days later, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna went to inspect Govardhan Hill to see what damage Indra had actually done, because Indra, besides the rain, had hammered Govardhan with thunderbolts. You know, when Krishna held it up as an umbrella, he even tried to destroy the umbrella, and it didn't work. So Krishna wanted to see what damage he had done to Govardhan Hill, and he had done some damage. And then he met Indra. So then Krishna said, Indra, how could you act in this way? You're supposed to be my devotee. I mean, you're a devotee and you want to kill the devotees. I mean, what kind of devotee are you, Indra? How could you act in this way? Then Indra replied and said, I was proud. I had become, proud because of my position. And Krishna said, yes, but Indra, a devotee has to curb pride with intelligence. So you should have, with intelligence, taken a humble position. And then Indra said, yes, that is true, but I lost my intelligence because I was angry. So again, you know, we see how Indra became covered over. So this dull-headedness is a serious problem. Still, it says the arguments. Srila Prabhupada says the arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. It's a fact. It's difficult in this movement to just go on automatic pilot and to not be confronted with our own shortcomings, because again and again we hear it, we read it, and so on. We are confronted again and again that we should do better than we are doing. That theme returns again and again, and these kind of wake-up calls come many times, again and again. So that's important, and we should ourselves take the medicine. Why wait for someone else to bring it to you? Why wait for someone to bring and say, take your pills? Take them ourselves. In other words, we ourselves have to turn to the pure devotee. The more we do. Nowadays, everything is electronically so widely available. To have some lectures of Prabhupada or anyone, any Vaishnava on our phone is very easy, but to push that button, to turn it on, is very difficult. But we must make that effort to all the way lift the hand and push. Very painful on the finger. And to push, that much effort has to be made. And that's where our dullness tends to interfere. There we just feel like too much trouble. My phone is all the way on the other side of the room. Too difficult. No time, no this, no that. But we need a culture in our life of cultivation of Krishna consciousness. That's what Srila Rupa Goswami explained, Krishna Anushilanam, that we must cultivate Krishna consciousness. Or Krishna says the same in Bhagavad Gita, Abhyasa Yogi Yuktena Chetasananya Gamina. He says this Abhyas, regular practice, regular cultivation of Krishna consciousness. It doesn't just come by hearing once. Too dull. You have to hear it 100 times. If we hear it 1,000 times, then maybe we think, well, maybe I should actually also do this. Yes. Somehow or other I got this idea that maybe I should follow this. We've heard it about 1,000 times. That's what it takes before we actually are ready to act upon it. So let us hear. Let us hear. Yesterday, we were discussing a point that in the beginning we come with a lot of enthusiasm, and then after some time we lose that initial fire and we come in a realm of just struggling with all the high standards of Krishna consciousness, and we kind of don't feel the same inspiration that we had in the very beginning. And then what? Then what we do? Then what to do? At that point, what can we do? Srila Prabhupada explained that one must chant in a helpless mood, in the mood of a helpless child. So when we become helpless, when we realize that actually I'm not a great devotee, I'm struggling, it's not easy, it's very challenging, maybe too challenging, then all we have left is to look for mercy. As much mercy as possible, because it's mercy that can change us. On our own strength, we are lacking. We don't have the determination. We do not have the conviction to just really act on the level of pure devotion, even after hearing all the good instruction. So then all that is left for us is look for as much mercy as possible. Because through that mercy, we will change and we will get a desire. And that's it. It's not difficult to be a pure devotee if we would want to be. We don't want to be. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta tells that story of the beggar who comes to the temple, and he was very weak because he didn't get alms. He was hanging on one of the pillars in the temple. One man came, saw this beggar, thought, "Whew, he looks really bad. Let me give him something." All he had was some puff rice. He says to the beggar, "Here, take this." The beggar, while holding the column, says, "Yeah, okay, put it in my hands." So he had the puff rice in his hands, but the column was in the middle. So he could not eat it. He couldn't reach it. So we are like that, holding on to our column of all our material conditioning, and therefore we don't get nourishment of devotional service. But by mercy, we can go beyond. Therefore, with time, as we are realizing more and more how much we are falling short in being pure devotees, more and more we become eager for mercy. And that mercy is available in so many ways. Available in some service. Oh, can I do this? Yes. Available in hearing from the Vaishnavas. Available in some prasad. Available in so many opportunities. Yes, I'll give. Can I give that donation? Yes, you give. Mercy comes in many forms, and one has to be eager to look for it, to take it, and to look for opportunities. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the famous story of the Gundicha Marjana, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, and everyone is competing, and everyone is cleansing, and everyone, and some did very well, others a little less, and Lord Chaitanya would chastise those. But there was this one Brahmana, he suddenly saw the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of him, and he had a pot of water which was meant to wash the temple, and instead he washed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and drank that water. Lord Chaitanya complained. He said to Sarup Damodar, he said, "Look what your Bengali Vaishnava has done." So it's like Sarup Damodar being the senior most of the Bengali devotees. So he said, "Your Bengali Vaishnava." So Sarup Damodar took him and threw him out of the temple. But he danced the whole way because he drank the water from Mahaprabhu's feet. Yes. But no one else saw, so we have to be awake to see the opportunities, ample opportunities here and everywhere in the world created by Srila Prabhupada. Let us take advantage. Prabhupada's desires were not a secret. One thing, very challenging desires, Prabhupada said, his problem was he can't think small. He said he has one problem. He can't think small. That we are noticing. So there's a big temple being built in Mayapur. Have we already given something? They're short of money to finish it. So it's lots of people. If everyone will just say, not just a little, something. We managed to save the money to come here. Right? So can we save the same amount somehow or other and give? It would be nice. There's mercy there. At the end of life, when we're on our deathbed, it counts. Oh, you gave. Oh, yes. Those things are important at the end. See? So we should not miss out to fulfill this desire and so many other desires to be fulfilled. So mercy is there. But we are dull, we are thinking small, we are thinking, oh, so much money, I mean, I'm struggling so much, how can I do? But we can do. We can do. So let's do something that we can do to get as much mercy as possible, because then we can actually break through our own limitations. You know, Ravindra Sarup, he has, in many lectures, he always tells the story about Pogo, right? And Pogo is a cartoon hero. One of the early cartoons in America was Pogo. He is a bear, Pogo. And Pogo, one time, he goes looking, and then Pogo says, "I've met the enemy. I have met the enemy. And he is us." So that's a fact. The enemy is us. We are our own enemy. Everything is there, being spoon-fed. I was reading a quote this morning, and the quote said, Prabhupada said, "I've given you the framework. Now all you have to do is decorate it. Actually, I gave you all the decorations as well. All you have to do is hang it." So it's easy. It's easy. It's all there. Temples are there, everywhere. We are big traveling preachers. But wherever we go, you know, the temple is already there. And if you time it well, you can just arrive at lunchtime. Yeah, it's very comfortable, actually. I usually arrive at lunchtime by accident, just to make sure. So like that, life is comfortable in so many ways. It's not difficult. But yes, if we really want to take advantage of the mercy of the pure devotee, then we must do something. We must do something. Srila Prabhupada told the American devotees, he said, like, you know, America is the most important nation in the world and so on, right? And he says, but it's not enough to just, you know, say that you are American. Now, to be American, you have to do something American. Then you are American. Something, that means something big, right? So in the same way, it's not enough to just say we are a Vaishnava. Now we have to do something for Krishna. And that is where it all will happen. That's where it will happen, in what we will do for Krishna. Okay, I'll end. Any questions or comments? Some microphone is coming. Krishna, Krishna. Jaldi, jaldi.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Kadamba Kandana Maharaj, for helping to wake me up.
Sorry. Sorry about...
You had mentioned about... logic actually makes us dull. So this may be an example of how that works, because I'm trying to be logical, and I'm having a little difficulty, because it seems like a circular kind of reasoning, in the sense that you're saying that we all run into apparent limitations, and we have to break through these. We have to extend ourselves. in order to get the mercy. And he said, if we get the mercy, then we'll be able to go beyond our limitations. So it sounds like in order to go beyond our limitations, we have to go beyond our limitations. So, you're saying it's like a limitation. It's like a stumbling. It's like we're so challenged by it, we can't do it. But then you're saying, in order to get the mercy that would enable us to do it, but we have to do it. Yeah. So it seems like even before you can, I'm getting mercy, it seems we have to do it anyway. Or maybe I'm not understanding properly.
No, you are. Your point is you're refining things, Maharaj, and that's appreciated. Yes, we have to make an initial effort to take that mercy, which is so widely available. But we have to make that initial effort to take advantage of it. Something like stretching. Right? I mean, stretching means we are stiff, our hands can barely get past our knees, but we have to make that first effort. But then as we stretch, one day the hands will be on the ground. So by we first receive some causeless mercy. Mercy we never asked for, that just appears in our life. And then it's up to us to take that mercy and take advantage of it. Then as we take a little advantage of some mercy, immediately we get more. And that will give us more strength and enthusiasm to again take some more shelter of some more. So it's both simultaneously. Make a little effort to take a step, and immediately so much mercy is coming that will give us strength for another step. So much mercy coming, another step. And in this way, we will have to progress. There's a combination of both the personal effort and that mercy. Damodar Lila shows also the two fingers, one for the mercy, one for personal endeavor of Yasoda. Then she could tie Krishna. So both are there. But thank you for the point, and please, if you say
it. It sounds like I'm getting a sense that mercy, at least in the context of today's presentation by you, is practically the same thing as what we say bala, or spiritual strength. As we get the mercy, means we get the spiritual strength to be able to extend ourselves, to be able to surrender and do what we think we can't do. Is that okay? Like,
in my context, I would say that spiritual strength is ultimately love for Krishna when it's full blown spiritual strength, which comes in a seed form. Right? That love for Krishna is our beginning. It slowly awakens in us, first in a little attraction, and then gradually grows. And as it grows, we're getting stronger and stronger. Initially, we may lack in love, and therefore we need more and more knowledge to be able to stay on the path. Gradually, as the love grows, we'll rely less and less on knowledge, we'll just serve out of love. It is said, Balavan Indriyan Gramo Vidvam Samapikarsati, the senses are so strong, even a man of learning is struggling. So, spiritual strength may consist of both knowledge, and knowledge is not just intellectual, but also acting in knowledge, like a regular sadhana. It means acting in knowledge. Eating certain things is acting in knowledge. So we do a lot based on knowledge, and some weakness is still there as long as we're just acting on knowledge. So then gradually, by service and mercy, our love awakens, and the more it awakens, the stronger we become. So anyway, that's my view on spiritual strength. Hope that's okay. Anyone else? Kavi Chanda Maharaj.
Where is my eyes?
Thank you for the comments. Really appreciate it that the sannyasis are commenting.
Vishnu John asked Prabhupada, why are you giving me so much mercy? And Prabhupada said, I'm giving the same mercy to everyone, but you're taking it. But that seemed to be the trick, to take it.
Yeah.
You know, unlimited, but we think I can't do this. You want to explain it?
I don't know. Why don't you explain it? You explain it better than me.
Yeah, anyway, that's the thing. We are our own enemy. The mind is your worst enemy because we think, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not qualified. But if we think Krishna is unlimited and I'll just try to serve him and he'll do everything, that would be wonderful. Then there's no limit.
Yeah, that's like, that's
but
what I meant.
At least for me, that's what I'm not doing. But
yeah.
You see, some people are doing that.
Well, that's why I spoke about Prabhupada being so challenging, right? Challenging us, challenging everyone in all kinds of ways, and how we always are challenged every day again. And unless we're aware of that, how are we ever going to muster up the determination to rise to the occasion? I saw some more hints. Yes.
Maharaj, I would like to ask you about the point what you said, that we have to see how much, if I understood properly, first to clarify, that we should not just externally appear as Srila Prabhupada follower, but we have to see inside how much we are real follower of Srila Prabhupada. And I was a little thinking now, and I'm unable to find a way. What is the way how we can examine ourselves, or should we ask some other devotee to tell us?
You know, like when it comes to introspection, right? Some people get a lot into introspection and in soul searching and in searching for anartas and so on. And whatever value that has, I wasn't really referring to that. I was more referring to the obvious, you know, like I didn't chant 64 rounds Dishkartik every day. It would have been nice if I would have. I'm a sannyasi. It would have been nice. I found some excuse for myself not to do it, you know. But if I would have done it, I probably would have gotten more out of Kartik than I got out of it now. Yeah? So there are obvious things that are sort of obvious to us. So why don't we just concentrate on the obvious things, and then the more subtle things, all right, you know, that will become obvious later. Let's just deal with the obvious things now, and then more things after that, more things will become obvious to us. That's what I think.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. Maharaj, this question is more on preaching applications. You had mentioned about taking the humble position. These materialistic times, it's very difficult to, you need to know when to time you know, this humble position aspect when you're preaching to the materialists, because otherwise they tend to just throw you out.
Oh, I see.
So could you shed some light on when we should actually start talking about the humble position and things like that?
You know, it depends what our concept of humility is. Yeah? I saw once a movie clip of a man who went for a job, and the job interviewer was sitting behind a screen and he couldn't see him. And then the man who came for the job, he had a cap on, and he took his cap in his hand, and then the interviewer said, "Name?" And he told his name, and he said his name, and then he said, after, "Thank you very much, please." And then the next thing, "Thank you very much, please. Thank you very much, please." And he looked like a total humble fool, right? So that's kind of the image, the materialist image of humility. Right? But Prabhupada's humility was different. Prabhupada's humility was, he could roar like a lion, but he would not take credit for himself. He would give the credit to Krishna or to other Vaishnavas. And that's all. We can roar. We don't have to be soft-spoken. "I am so humble, and therefore I only whisper." Oh, you can roar. And sometimes you have to. When the bell rings, you have to speak louder. And then we speak loud. But the credit goes to Krishna for whatever we do. That's humble. That's enough. It's simple. The bell is ringing, so you... Very short.
Maharaji, my question is, in Bhagavad Gita written, Prakriti kiyamanani karmanani sarvasa ahankara vidhu atma karta hamati manyate.
Krishna is the doer.
So, whatever we are doing, good or bad thing, it's when Krishna is doing.
Yeah, that's the...
So,
no, Krishna, what is Krishna has done, he has given us independence. Krishna is doing by giving us independence. So it's like we are misusing the independence Krishna gave us. It's not Krishna who is misusing it. Krishna allows us to misuse it if we want to, but then take the consequences, then also suffer from the karma. So yes, Krishna is allowing us to misuse our independence. He can stop it. He will not do it. He will allow us. So ultimately, Krishna is sanctioning everything. But we are also having independence. So we're misusing it. Then be ready to pay the bill of karma. Think about it. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.